Good morning once again. Like we heard from the Bible reading, 2 Samuel chapter 5, 1 to 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, "Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh." They were aligning themselves to David. "You are part of us and we are part of you. We are one." The same. 2. "Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.' Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah." And the second one is from the next chapter, chapter 6, 1 to 5. And again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fair wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals." Amen. This second story, we all know, it started joyously. In the midst of joy, in the midst of happiness. But it ended on a sad note. Yes, it ended on a sad note because the ark couldn't reach where it was supposed to be. We know the cart that was carrying the ark, I think one of the bulls stumbled, and Uzziah wanted to get hold of the ark, because as the bull stumbled, the cart appeared to be falling off. So he was going to help, you know, restore the ark on the cart, and then the Lord struck him. Yes. Brethren, in these two scriptures, I wanted to identify some points here. And I have 3 points. I have 3 points here for us to consider. First, we know that the Lord remembered his covenant to David. And so David, at the tender age of 15, was anointed king over Israel by Samuel. And at the age of 30, the Bible says 30, if it were to be some of us, we say, "How long, Lord, how long are you going to establish this kingdom to me?" With God, nothing is late. Brethren, with God, nothing is late. Because we remember after in the story of the kings, some of them were installed at the age of 12. Some of the kings of Judah. Some of them were installed in the skin of Israel. Some of them were installed at the tender age of 12. So at the age of 15, and in their tradition, he was a youth. Because it was at that tender age, he killed the lion, he killed Goliath. So he was a youth and a very strong boy, as such. But with God, time is not a limit. No, God has no limit. He doesn't move by what we think is time. In his own time, he makes all things beautiful. But here, you see, when the people came to him, the people themselves came to him. When the time is come, when the time is come, they will come. But brethren, let's just notice one thing. Identify, the title of my sermon, is Christ our Good Shepherd. Christ our Good Shepherd. God said he will raise up a shepherd to lead the people of Israel. Let's move the word shepherd. When the people of Israel wanted a king, they went to Samuel. Give us a king to rule over us like the other nations. So God gave them a king to rule over them. And before God gave them Saul, he said, look, this king will begin to tax your people, will begin to take your people to war, he begin to do this, all that. But look, in the case of David, he said he will raise up a shepherd to lead. And so, you see a difference. You see someone ruling for ruling's sake. And here you see someone ruling as a shepherd. And so you cast your mind back and then you picture a shepherd leading his flock. You see? So here in chapter 5, I identify three things. I said, look, we have to identify with our shepherd. The people identify themselves with David. They came to David and said, look, you are, verse 1, indeed we are your bone and your flesh. We are part of you, or you are part of us. We are one. Identify with your shepherd. Brother, let's look at John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out four his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Brethren, Christ our Good Shepherd. We need to identify with Christ. We need to identify with Christ. We need to see ourselves as part of him. Because in Ephesians, it says, we have been accepted in the Lord. And that's what I always console myself. It's like this Bible. And then, I have this marker in here. And this is me. And this is Christ. And I am in Christ. Flesh and blood. Because as he is, so are we in this world. It didn't say, so shall we be. It says, so are we. So we need to identify ourselves with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two, the shepherd shows leadership. The shepherd shows leadership. In John chapter 10, where we read in verse 3, John chapter 10, back again, verse 3, the second part. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He leads them. Whatever you are doing, whether you are going out, whether you are coming in, just tell yourself, the Lord leads me. Lord, lead me. Whatever you are saying, just quick prayer, the Lord, lead me. He leads us, brethren. in everything we do. And you know how he does that? We shall come to that. We shall come to that. Because when he was ascending up to heaven, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our good shepherd, he said that he is always, he wants to be in us, with us, leading us, being with us, doing everything for us. In the Old Testament, you ought to do to become. You have to do this, do that. If you are not able to do, then this curse will come to you. But in the New Testament, he said, I will do this. I will be merciful to you. I will show you kindness. He's doing everything. It's all about him, none of us. This is our Lord. And the third point, our shepherd has a covenant with his flock. He has a covenant with his flock. The story we read in chapter 5. Is it chapter 5 of Samuel? 2 Samuel, chapter 5. It said, from verse 3, therefore all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. Brethren, let's go to John. You know, if you want to see a real picture of our good shepherd, it's in John. But I'm not going to dwell much in John chapter 10. Yes. John chapter 10. Let's look at verse 10. Our good shepherd said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he has come that we may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. Our good shepherd came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Right from the word go, when God created man, God wanted man to have life and have it more abundantly. It wasn't God's wish that man will die, man will fall into sickness. No. He wanted the best for man. And verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. That is the covenant he has. To lay down his life for us. The good shepherd. As David made a covenant with the people to serve them. But mind you, David was a mere human being. David was a mere human being. The one who was preparing David, I said, look, he failed. David, to whom God said, you will be a shepherd, he failed miserably. He took someone's wife, killed the person. He did so many things against the Lord. Made a census while the Lord had not asked him to do it. You see, he failed. So David can't be a good shepherd. Brethren, do you get it? Man can never be a good shepherd. Who then is a good shepherd? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only good shepherd that we have. Because David himself said, the Lord is my shepherd. If David himself said the Lord is his shepherd, then who am I to introduce a human being to you as a shepherd? Because a man after God's own heart, that was David, was known as a man after God's own heart. But he was referring to God as his shepherd. And that should tell us that, yes, our God is the greatest shepherd of all. Brethren, the songs we were saying on Christ alone, the solid rock. You see, you can't put your hope in the sweetest ring. And man is the sweetest ring. Man. You can't put our hope in man. It is only our good shepherd. And as we were singing that song, I was casting my mind on how a shepherd, what a shepherd does for his flock. Protect when storms are coming. You will see this shepherd trying to protect or find a place for the sheep. And that is how our Father is. At times we don't need so many big things to draw our attention. Just the little things, brother, just the little things. In Jeremiah chapter 23, there was a prophecy by Jeremiah. Let's start from verse 1. He said, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnants of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them." Brethren, let's take note here. "For I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them." First one, do what? They will feed the flock. They will feed them. "And they shall fear no more." Feeding, fear no more. "Nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking." Brethren, you see what this shepherd will do? He will feed the flock. The flock will not fear. So I always tell myself, in fact, ever since God opened my eyes to the message of grace, wherever I go and the preacher begins to put fear into me, we get up and then we leave. The shepherd will not put fear into you. They shall look, there are some people who put fear. It's like if you leave the church, you will die. So you are there. Whatever they tell you, do it. No. They shall fear no more. Don't be dismayed. And they shall what? Lack no more. This is the word of God. This is what the Lord says that the shepherd will do. The good shepherd will do. Feed the flock, no more fear, and then no more lack. So if David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he knew what he was saying. He knew what he was saying. It was in Matthew chapter 2. David was making a prophetic statement. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd the people Israel." Shepherd. So when David said that, David was making a prophetic statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we should begin to see the Lord as our shepherd in our lives. We should begin seeing him as you see, he said, "My flock, they hear my voice." We should begin to be hearing the voice of God. We should begin to be hearing his voice. At times you will be there and the thing will be coming from you from here. It doesn't come from here. Here is our thinking. At times I say, when the sermon comes and you begin to use your mind, that is where before. It's here. It comes from within. Out of your belly shall flow living waters. Not from here. No. From within. So, we see here Jeremiah, God giving him that prophetic word that, look, shepherd will come. And what the shepherd will do, my people, he will feed my people. They will not fear anymore. Brethren, what is so joyous news than grace? I tell you, whoever understands grace Yeah, it's always happy. You are not scared anymore. You don't live under fear. I'm telling you. The law, fear, put fear. Because if you see, the whole thing is that if you are not able to obey, you are afraid. Automatically. It's like, I use my daughter as an example. If I ask her to do something, she's not able to do it. When she sees me, definitely she'll be scared. Daddy, I couldn't do it. Don't worry. That's how grace is. Don't worry. Grace is telling you, don't worry. Taking the burden on myself. He went to the cross for us. We didn't go to the cross for ourselves. Sorry. Yes, Martin. That is it. He went. He did all that. He redeemed us from all the curses of the law. Think about it. He redeemed us, not you, not our doing, no. But his blood redeemed us from all those punishments that we deserve to be punished. He took those punishments on the cross so that we would live. The life we will live now is the life that Christ is living in us. And so, brethren, let's now look at a picture of a good shepherd. In Luke chapter 15, let's start from verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. You see? The people who identified with the good shepherd. In the story in 2 Samuel, the people came to identify with David. Here, we are seeing the tax collectors and sinners drawing near to him. And the so-called righteous men, they pulled themselves away. Hallelujah. They said they drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. See? So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, this is where I always cherish it. He said, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbor, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. One sinner who repents. And you ask yourself, where did the sheep repent? The sheep, where did he repent? When he found the sheep, where did he repent? You see, when the sheep allow the master, the shepherd, to carry it, lay it on his shoulders. You see, the moment he put it on his shoulders, he knew he was taking the sheep home. That is the repentance. You see what God wants from us? Nothing. The shepherd doesn't need anything. Just allow yourself to be put on his shoulders. Just allow yourself for the shepherd to put you, place you on his shoulders and carry you home. Simple. So simple. This is our good shepherd. Brother, this is our good shepherd. He wants to carry us on his shoulders. He wants to take us along with him. The style he does it
overwhelming. It's mind-blowing. I mean, you ask yourself, look, here, wow, where? At what point did the sheep repent to come with me? I said, no, listen. The Lord said, the answer is in there. It's in there. Oh, so at that point, he put him. I said, oh, yes, the Lord. Son, that is the point. Allow me to carry you on your shoulder. You see how grace works. Grace, our Lord will do everything for us. You see, he gives you power to do the things he asks you to do. And when you've done it with the power he's giving you, he then crowns you with glory. You see, he's giving you the power to do it. Yeah? And then after that, he crowns you again. He pays you again. Amazing grace. Our great shepherd is full of grace. Our great shepherd is full of grace. When you look at a shepherd's life, you see grace. I was watching a program the other day and looking at shepherds, the way, you know, they have something, they remove the tick in between their hooves. You know that? That's where it ticks. They have time, they remove all those ticks. Move them. And, you know, at times, their wool, their skin also, you know, pick some things. And they take time to remove all those things. You see, that is how we are. We pick things here and there. We pick them. But our great shepherd, I pick them out one after the other. This, today this, tomorrow that. In order for us to appear neat, fresh, we go out there always having in our mind that yes, I have this great shepherd who is always by my side. He's always by my side. Even when you don't have it, you lay the table in the presence of your enemies. He lays it, the table, in the presence of your enemies. And people marvel. Look, that man. But still, yes, he's still going on. But we heard this. We heard that. He said, but he's still going on. That is our creature. So in John chapter 10, verse 16. John 10, 16. He says, and the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You see, he left the 99. Then he went after the one. And then the one came and joined. So now we have one shepherd and we have one flock. Hallelujah. We have one shepherd, one flock. And he will feed us, and we shall fear no more. We shall fear no more. Fear not. That's what our Lord says to us. Never lack. We are in this dispensation, I'm telling you, brethren, you know what? You know why I'm saying so? Because it says, at that time, in that prophecy, let's go back to Jeremiah 23. It says, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I was reading a magazine, an online magazine, about the Jewish nation, and they were telling you all the Jewish people who are scattered are now moving back into their land. They are moving, they are going back to Israel. Never before. And that should tell us that yes, this is the time. You see, that we are the beneficiaries of this prophecy. The shepherd that the Lord has put in place, yeah, to feed us. Brethren, grace. This is the time. I remember those days when I was growing up in the church, I tell you, there were times if you don't go to church, you are scared even to meet the pastor. I'm telling you, you are scared to meet the pastor.
Why didn't you forsake? The first thing is that you've broken the Sabbath. So you must have a tangible reason for not coming to church. I tell you. Now, you see, grace, you come. You see, you are not doing out of, what will I say, force. But you see, it's out of joy. It feels a joy to do it. You see, people think grace leads people to sin. No, Christ said those who love much are those who have been forgiven much. You see, when you know you have been forgiven, you know that yes, I deserve to have died. But someone, a blood spoke, You see, you do out of love, that is it. Don't see it as something like force or something like, you know, something that is binding. And let's continue with that prophecy. Let's continue with verse 5. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness." He will raise to David a branch of what? Righteousness. "A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days shall Judah be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." It's not my righteousness, it's not your righteousness, it is his righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. And we are in that dispensation presence. We are being fed spiritually. We are not scared anymore. You don't fear anymore. No. You don't fear anymore. And we don't laugh. But the new marketing where the redeemer of the Lord don't lack. No. He will meet you at your point of need. He will meet you at your point of need. No matter what you are going through, no matter what illness, disease, whatever, lacking or whatever you think you are. You know, because we quantify everything with money. Yeah, the system we live in now, everything money, money, money. So at times when you are blessed in some areas, you don't think about that. We forget. We easily forget. The Lord, our righteousness, is our good shepherd. Listen, this is Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work." That great shepherd will make everything complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What Paul is saying. And you know what? When the good shepherd said he's not going to leave us, don't you forget that he left his Holy Spirit. Is it in us? He left his Holy Spirit in us to guide and lead us in everything. And when I realized, I said, yes, a great and good shepherd indeed. A great and good shepherd indeed. A shepherd who is prepared to lead us, to be with us in everything we do. Brethren. You see, when David, the second part of the scripture we read in chapter 6, you see, when David realized all that the Lord has done for him, he never forgot to bring the Lord in the midst of the people. That's why he went for the Ark of the Covenant. You see, he wanted the Lord to be in the midst. We shouldn't forget that in everything we do, God should be the center. Christ should be the center of everything we do. And the Ark of the Covenant is a picture of Christ. A picture of Christ. David was bringing Christ into the midst of the congregation. You see? So brethren, this sermon, I want us to see Christ, our good shepherd, the way He loved us, the way He wants to lead us, provide for us in everything, and above all, His covenant with us still maintained. Because He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Like David made a covenant with the people, Christ also made a covenant with us. And because we are humans, He knew we would break it. You see? So on the cross, it was God the Father and then God the Son. You remember Abraham, when God asked him to make a covenant, He asked him to bring some animals, and He cut the animals into two. And at the time that the covenant was going to be made, Abraham slept. Do you know why Abraham slept? Because if it had been between man, man would definitely break part of His covenant. That was it. It was the cross at that time. God was showing it to him. The cross, God, the Son, and God the Father, still made a covenant. He saw a pillar of fire and a cloud, and that made a covenant. The same thing on the cross. Man, they are like boxer's wife. The boxer will fight, and then the wife will enjoy the money. We enjoy the cross. You see, the Father and the Son, they made the covenant so that no matter how we break our part, He's still faithful. He's still faithful. Brethren, that is our good shepherd. That is our good shepherd. Let's see Christ as our good shepherd. A shepherd who provides for His flock. When things are not going the way we want it, let us still maintain our faith and our hope. That solid rock. That He is our shepherd, provider, protector, everything and all in Him. Amen.